This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Time is 12:03, Friday, July 19th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Judson Richards in for Rob Hart. Airlines are working to recover from a massive technology meltdown that circled the globe early this morning. We'll update the situation in our next segment. Right now, let's take a deeper dive into the software issue that's caused the unprecedented disruptions. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force right here in Chicago. Jerry, it's a great day to talk to you. Let's begin kind of speaking in simplest of terms. What caused the massive IT outage everyone's been dealing with?
Well, the issue was from a company called CrowdStrike. CrowdStrike is a cybersecurity service company. They load systems into large companies' computers to detect and resolve malicious activity. So they catch ransomware and things like that before they actually infect a machine. And unfortunately, when they did their update, the update was bad, and it caused anybody who's loaded their system and had Microsoft Windows to crash.
Jerry, the outage has impacted a host of industries. Do we know how many, how deep this ran?
No, we don't. But we do know it was, you know, major enterprises. That's why you see it being affected pretty much internationally. I mean, all over the world this was happening. And it was mostly large corporations and government institutions.
We're speaking with Jerry Irvine about the software issue that caused the unprecedented disruptions over the last 12-plus hours or so. So, Jerry, what specific issue led to CrowdStrike's disruption, and how is the company addressing it?
So, again, what they do is they try to detect systems. So what their system does is they update as soon as they see zero-day effects. So if you see a brand-new malware or ransomware or something like that, they go on and they send updates out to all of their clients immediately as soon as a problem occurs. And as a result, they are able to stop a lot of ransomware and other types of malicious activity before they even hit anybody else. So that's the benefit. The bad news is, because they have to update their systems so quickly, they don't have time to do a lot of testing, or they may not have time to do a lot of testing, and they send it out globally. What they could have done, or what they might have been able to do, would have been to wait, and instead of doing a system update immediately, they could have tested it, they could have then put it out a little areas instead of globally, internationally. But the problem with that is, then, you know, people start getting hacked. So they're kind of in a catch-22. They were able to put a fix out real quick. I mean, I think around an hour, hour and a half or something like that, they already had an update done, and they'd already backed out the changes. But unfortunately, this update, which they do so quick, caused the problem. Now, this is the first time in 13 years they've ever had any kind of problem like this. So they typically do a pretty good job. But this is a situation much like, you know, we've seen the communications companies like AT&T and Verizon and even the airlines when they say, oh, yeah, we had a system update that brought our systems down. Well, that's exactly what happened.
Jerry, thank you so much for informing us on that software issue that caused unprecedented disruptions. That's Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force. Coming up next, the tech outage impact on airlines.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, what a day it's been. Airlines are working to get back up to speed in the wake of the worldwide computer glitch. Let's check in with Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chanuck Institute here at DePaul University. Joe, thanks for your time today. Okay, so help us understand this outage and how it specifically has impacted air travel.
Yeah, it's really an interesting, I mean, terrible situation that a lot of outages are limited to the U.S. or certain airlines, but this one crosses both airlines and continents, so we have some pretty tough situations in Europe. The good news, you might say, is that a significant share of flights are still going out on time. I've been watching that departure board at O'Hare incessantly this morning. But you see, you know, maybe every fourth flight we're seeing canceled or significantly delayed, and the day's just getting started here, so we'll see how that plays out. Southwest has been unaffected, some of the small airlines, but United, Delta, and American are all getting hit pretty hard, and even their partners as well.
What were the main impacts of the IT outage on flight operations and passenger services?
You know, passengers, unfortunately, are put into this limbo land where, yeah, their flight may show on time, but who knows right now. So there's a lot of concern at the airport. Of course, a lot of people in the middle of their trips with 4th of July just a couple weeks ago and people trying to get back. So there's anxiety out there about this. And unfortunately, as most people know, this time of year, there's not a lot of empty seats on their flights, so it's hard to stand by. So airlines are encouraging passengers to, you know, consider rebooking. But again, the good news, a lot of flights are getting out on time.
So I was going to say, what is your, because my wife is coming home from Denver International Airport. She's got a 7:35 flight this evening. Your advice for air travelers who are caught up in all of this?
Yeah, I've been watching the flight board, and airlines have been pretty good about announcing delays and cancellations up till 4, 5, 6 o'clock, even this evening. But there's still uncertainty, and I think, you know, the basic approach is, you know, don't go to the airport until you've checked. And on the way to the airport, check one more time. It's probably for flights showing okay. It's probably not necessary to call the airline or think about rebooking right now, because I think airlines have learned the hard way. Don't send people to the airport unless you are pretty sure that that flight is going to go and get out in a reasonable time.
Should this make us feel at all uneasy as far as, you know, a cyber attack? Does it show an area of weakness, or was this just simply an update that went wrong?
Oh, there's certainly implications for that. And I think two things I'm struck with. One, that, you know, all the talk about backup systems, and we need backups, and something needs to kick on automatically when System A works, System B can at least keep those flights going. And why that didn't happen or wasn't in place, it reminds me of the FAA glitch a couple of years ago, where one little coding error caused the system to come down. But cybersecurity, the fact this, you know, just shows how vulnerable we are, with banks and airlines and others all affected by the same little computer problem. It's definitely a wake-up call.
Joe, we appreciate your insight today. That's Joe Sweetman, Professor of Public Services Director at Chanuk Institute right here at DePaul University. Up next, coming up with a plan to keep better track of your subscription services.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, earlier this week, we discussed doing a mid-year personal finance checkup. It's also a great time to do a subscription audit. Joining us with a strategy to do just that is Sherry Greco-Rykus, co-founder of Rappaport Rykus Capital Management right here in Chicago. Also the author of the book, Maximize Your Return on Life. Sherry, nice to speak with you today. So help us understand the importance of doing a subscription audit.
Oh, it's so important. I actually did one a couple months ago, and there were two subscriptions I had that totaled maybe $150 that I was able to get rid of. And so I think a lot of us do these subscriptions, we forget about them. The fees can increase over time and you don't notice it. So I have a couple steps here of ways to start your own subscription audit.
I guess I would be curious, which ones could I ask what you were paying so much for that came up to that much? Maybe people are like, oh, yeah, I forgot I also had that.
Well, I had my Fitness Pal, and I had upgraded to a special level, which I wasn't using. And then I had Audible, which I had a bunch of books in my library, so I put that on hold till I listened to those books. So, you know, those were just two examples.
So give us that direct advice about what to do.
Yeah, so what I decided to do is I kind of went through my bank statements, and I kind of went through 6 months and looked. And the problem with subscriptions is you're getting charged in all different places. It could be your bank statement. If you have credit cards, it could be on there. So kind of go to your bank statements, your credit cards. And a lot of times you do subscriptions via your phone. they entice you a lot with these, you know, 5-day trial or 30-day trial, and you try it, you forget about it. So I have an iPhone, but any phone you have, you can go to your settings, and usually it will list your subscriptions. And even if they're not, you still have them, maybe you had it for a year, you could cancel it. So when the anniversary comes, you cancel it. If there's not a way to do it that way, you can always do like a calendar invite to yourself to cancel certain subscriptions. But, you know, you really need to kind of look at all these subscriptions. Are you actually using the subscription? And as you know, if I've been a guest on the show, I always say, what brings you joy? Is it one of your values? Is it something that you're using that you really want to continue using? And if not, just cancel. You can always start the subscription over again. And, you know, maybe once or twice a year, go through those statements, your bank statements and your credit card statements, to see if these subscriptions come up. Another thing is sometimes you can do a monthly subscription or an annual. If it is one that you really like and you are using, see if you can save money by doing a 1-year or a 2-year, if it's something you really value and you're going to be using it for a while. So those are just a few tips to save money.
They get us with those weekly trials, don't they? I always try to avoid weekly trials because, you know, if you read the fine print, you are signing up for an automatic deduction more times than not. You have to go through the process to get out of it, albeit it's like, hey, just try it for a week. But no, really, you're in it.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes, you know, you have to give 10-day notice or
right. They
do it another month. So, you know, it's a very slippery slope. So if you do those 5-day or 10-day, you know, put a little calendar invite to remind you to reevaluate if you really want to continue it, because there's a very short window to cancel.
Sherry, thanks so much for your time today, helping us understand how we need to keep in mind and keep an eye on those subscription audits, because it can add up very, very quickly. That's Sherry Greico, Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport Rikus Capital Management right here in Chicago. Still ahead in Entrepreneur Friday, a doctor with a plan for safer pickleball.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News time now, 12:30. Good afternoon. Thanks for listening. I'm Justin Richards in for Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A global computer outage disrupts air traffic and forces cancellations at O'Hare. Police search for a hit-and-run driver who critically injured a young girl on Chicago's South Side. In Entrepreneur Friday, we meet a doctor who's come up with a plan to make pickleball safer. And more parents find themselves financially supporting their adult children. WBBM Business, it's a lot of red. The Dow down 433, S&P down 43, and the NASDAQ is down 165. Thank you. The forecast says expect more of a pleasant day, just like yesterday, a bit warmer. Plenty of sunshine, a high of 80 degrees. Tomorrow, another nice day, mixed clouds, sunshine, and a high of 83. But currently, 77 degrees, mostly sunny skies at 12:31. Well, the outage this morning involving computer systems across the globe is being felt at O'Hare. Santiago and his wife were waiting for an Uber to take them back to Lockport after their flight to Pennsylvania was delayed. It meant they'll miss the Pittsburgh Pirates game they were flying to see.
Yeah, but
9:10 p.m.
Yeah,
but our game started at 7.
So it's okay. Play it. We'll do it another day. Not a big deal.
More than 200 flights at O'Hare have been canceled so far today. By the way, props to him for a positive attitude. A 9-year-old girl was taken to the hospital in critical condition after being struck by a vehicle while she was crossing a street on Chicago's South Side last night. It happened just before 8:30 at 95th and Paxton in the Calumet Heights neighborhood. Police say a silver SUV failed to stop at a red light and struck the girl, who was with two other people. The person behind the wheel drove off without stopping.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, stocks are trading sharply lower on Wall Street. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade right here in Chicago. J.J., thanks for joining us today. So it has been a rough week for stocks, especially tech. What's your takeaway from what's been happening this week?
Yeah, to your point, it looks like it's going to be the worst week we've had for the S&P 500 since April. And again, this is after setting an all-time high on Tuesday, so it's really been quite a convoluted week from that sense. you know, some of it may just be that stocks got a bit expensive, if you will. We've had these incredible run-ups. You know, you talk about NVIDIA on the program a lot. Stocks up 140% still on the air. You have something like Netflix, which, you know, came out actually with pretty good earnings last night. They actually beat in terms of what people were expecting on a number of clients, but the stock's down right now over $10.50 as, you know, the go forward just wasn't good enough. And you often see this when we get to all-time highs where people are just like, okay, where is the buying momentum going to come from? They have some questions with the, you know, election news now over the last couple of weeks, and that will continue. I think there's some uncertainty there. We've seen volatility as measured by the VIX come out and play, if you will, for the first time in a long time. Just as at the beginning of the week, it was under 13. Now it's over 17, up again today, about 8%. And so we're starting to see for the first time in a long time, people feeling they may need some protection for the downside.
So, JJ, in your opinion, and again, I know you've covered a lot of it, but in your opinion, what is behind the stock market weakness? And maybe more importantly, do you see it continuing?
I would see that there's a good possibility of this perhaps continuing early in the week next week. But don't forget, we're also in the middle of earnings season. So a couple of good earnings can turn this around very, very quickly. Unfortunately, we had American Express earnings today, not quite as good, which may give some question for the consumer. And so I think that that's one that has people a little dismayed. And then Travelers Insurance, which is also, you know, you got to remember, those are two stocks that are going to weigh on the Dow. Travelers Insurance this morning came out with what appeared to be good earnings, but in the press conference, in their following call, didn't create such a great picture. And considering all the crazy weather that we've had over the last year or so, the fact that their earnings were so good was incredible. But again, they certainly put a note of warning going forward. And in this thing, for your listeners, the biggest thing to listen for is not what they've done in the past, but what they say they're going to do over the next 6 months or so. And what we're seeing out of some CEOs right now is a little bit more of a note of caution than we've seen in quite a while.
If you're just turning in now, tuning in now, stocks are trading sharply lower on Wall Street. We're discussing that with JJ Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade. So, JJ, how is Federal Reserve playing in all of this?
Yeah, you know, the probability of a September rate hike stays incredibly high near rate cut, stays incredibly high going forward. And, you know, if President Trump gets in, he's talking about he's really going to pressure for some rate cuts. Obviously, I think the inflation numbers have come in a little bit softer the last couple of months. So, the Fed continues to walk this fine line about when is the right time to cut. And you don't want to let an economy overheat. And at the same time, you don't want to cut too quickly or cut too late. So it really is a fine line. And what we've seen is some consistency in terms of Chairman Powell saying we're going to let the numbers tell us what to do. And so many will say that leads to being too late. It's really, really a tough thing to do.
JJ, what areas of the market do you find attractive right now?
Well, I think the one that's the most interesting to many people, and when we've seen this play out over the last week or two, is with the probabilities of the election changing for President Trump at the moment, that the energy stocks have had quite a resurgence. And so that's the area I think that might be the most interesting right now. We saw a pretty good earnings season from the banks overall. And in fact, if you look right now, you see in this sell-off, Citigroup higher, Bank America higher, JP Morgan higher. So I think that that speaks well to what the financials can do and, you know, may be able to continue to be some strength. Again, technology has been the leader, but in order for us to continue higher, be keeping in mind that financials are the second largest area weighted in the S&P 500. We need them to perform. And what people also may forget is that the Russell 2000, which has had an amazing run over the last few weeks, the financials are also the second largest sector in there. So some of those regional banks, the Zions banks of the world, the Regions Financials, et cetera, which are, you know, higher today also. You need those to perform also.
JJ Kinahan, thank you so much. Well, a recent survey by the site savings.com finds that nearly half of parents with a child over the age of 18 are supporting them financially. Let's discuss that often difficult dance with Andrea Warrock, a family finance expert at AndreaWarrock.com. They're in Los Angeles, California. Andrea, thanks so much for your time today. So why are more parents financially supporting their adult children in the current economic climate?
Hi, thanks so much for having me on. Yes, you know, we've been seeing this trend over the last decade, I would say, more and more adult children leaning on their parents, living at home longer, especially after college, well into their 20s, and getting that financial support. I think there's a few things happening. The cost of living is exorbitantly high. The cost of going to college or graduate school, really, really high. And then we also know that kids are so involved in sports and maybe not taking on after-school jobs like maybe we did when we were growing up. And so I think all of this is kind of playing a role in why these older children, these adults, are still expecting their parents to pay for them.
Yeah, and then this can, in turn, put parents themselves in a difficult financial situation moving forward.
Exactly. And I don't think that parents are really understanding that because, you know, there's a lot of emotions that are tied to this support. And of course, nobody wants their children, regardless of their age, to fail or, you know, be stuck with a huge medical bill or whatever it might be. But when you're not prioritizing your own future retirement, actually, you're putting your children in a worse financial position, because what happens when you can't pay for yourself when you're retired? Now they have to worry about you financially in addition to their own family that they're trying to raise. So that's something really important to think about.
Okay, so how do they address it? Is this a serious sit down at the dinner table? Do they do it on a long drive, maybe back home from their favorite restaurant where I'm sure they picked up the bill?
Unfortunately, it's not something that's going to change overnight, right? Because there could be a lot of different factors that are playing into this, and each family situation is going to be different. So I would suggest, you know, speaking with your partner, if you're still married, you know, and, you know, discussing, okay, figuring out what is the root cause. Are there emotional issues? Are there financial issues? You know, and maybe addressing these and then having those tough conversations with your child. And it would probably have to create changes over time. I would say, you know, maybe making small adjustments to start setting different expectations. So if your children are living with you, you know, can they help start paying some bills? So it's not a completely free ride and taking those types of steps.
It seems like one of the best ways to get them out of the house is to let them save money while in the house, because the cost of buying a home is so expensive, right?
Exactly. And hey, you know what? If you have the situation where you can have room for your children, I would maybe suggest creating a rent program. This is giving them an opportunity to know what it means to, you know, have to save their income, pay some bills, but maybe instead of putting that towards your mortgage or whatever bills you have, you can save it for them. So it's almost like a forced savings plan. And so that when it does come time to move out, get an apartment or buy a house, now they have the savings amount that you collected from them. So that could be an interesting alternative to consider.
Andrea, thanks so much for your insight today. That's Andrea Warrock, family finance expert at AndreaWarrock.com. Again, nearly half of parents with a child over the age of 18 are supporting them financially, that according to savings.com. Hey, if you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com. Also, you can find it on the Odyssey app.